Okay, so I think what today is October 5th, 2016, and we're going to do lesson number 18, the candle holders. But I'm going to call it the candle holders incorporating the use of your spine. So there's more clarity about how your spine and the use of your spine, your trunk, helps the function of your extremities, i.e. being your arms today. So while you're lying there on your back, begin to take inventory of how you're resting on the floor today, how your arms are lying down by your sides, how your legs are long, and then in between your extremities, right, is that good old rectangle where we've been putting the four dots and the four lines. So once you draw into your awareness the four dots, giving them one color, then you connect the dots to create your rectangle. And again, this is just a way for you to observe and notice how you are today. If one shoulder or one side of your pelvis is higher or lower, or is the rectangle askew? Does it feel straighter or more lined up today? And then in between the four dots in your four lines, right, in the very center is your spine. And again, what's really important to notice about your spine is if it's in the center, or is there any place along your spine where it might go a little more off to one side? I don't know. Sorry, you guys. So yeah, I mean, and it's okay. You know, most of us have kind of some little crookedness in our spine. So you just notice that usually where it is either the area in between the shoulder blades or slightly below that before you get to the lower back. And then there's this area of your spine that connects your head, right? So that's called your neck. So it's important today, since we're involving your head in this lesson, is to sense that part of your spine, your neck. And without touching, just sensing, get an idea of how much space is behind your neck. So that's on the back side. And then on the front side is to notice the relationship of your face, your chin, your nose, and your forehead to the ceiling. So does it appear, right, again, in your sensory mode, that your face is orientated to the ceiling? Or is your chin pulled a little down into your throat? Or is your head tilted back? And what's real important is just to see if you can get a clear sense of this without moving. Okay, so from here, let's go ahead and bend your legs, bring both feet to standing. We're going to come to this position time and time again, so make sure that when you bring your feet up to standing, your heels line up with your sit bones comfortably, right? And there's a sense that you're there, excuse me, that the entire foot is flat, right? Both of your feet, so they're not too close together, not too far apart. The heels aren't turned in or out, right? So make some little adjustments to really sense the placement of your feet. Okay? Because you're going to use those feet. And then you're going to start by just tilting your pelvis. We've done this numerous times. Just rolling the pelvis to arch the lower back a little bit and then to flatten it. Right? But not only is that occurring, but then you also sense back to your neck and your head that when you arch the spine, so to speak, right, taking the belly forward, it's like it pulls your neck and your head down a little bit. And then when you flatten the lower back, it's as if your head grows tall and moves away from you, right? And it's not you doing the movement, it's occurring because as you move the pelvis, which is attached to your spine, and your spine is attached to your head, right, the whole system moves. So Lynn, pay attention to what's happening, okay? Just do the movement of your pelvis. Sometimes it's too suggestive for you. And then go the other way. There, now you're doing it right. You are completely doing it the opposite. You think too much. So you were thinking, and then it got you. Yeah, just feel what happens, right? It's really important to feel what happens, not make something happen, right? Do you know the difference? Right? It's a good question to ask yourself. Are you making a movement happen because I have verbalized something, or are you allowing it to happen? Brigida, that's beautiful. Okay. So you're going to pause with that. Just allow yourself to come to neutral. Neutral in the pelvis. So your legs are still up, but your pelvis is neutral with a little arch, right? That means it's not flat. It's arched, but not overarched. And then the space behind your neck, right, is arched. And hopefully right now is when your face is again flat towards the ceiling. So you're going to now bring your arms to what they call it the candle holders position. So it means that you're from your shoulder to your elbow, it's a straight line out. And then from your elbow to your hand, the forearms bent to the ceiling. Ceiling, not above you, ceiling. Okay? So this is why it's called candle holders, right? Don't most of us get out candle holders during this time of year? Put candles on the table, right? Okay, so excellent job. So have your fingers straight, right? And your palms, right, are facing a little bit away from you, right? Facing like as if towards the floor, because that's the way we're going to go, right? But no, doesn't mean you bend at the wrist. Just it's the direction. That's it. Okay. So you're going to start to begin to think of lowering your hands, your palms, and your arms towards the floor. And as soon as it gets uncomfortable, you stop. Right? Don't push it. And then you bring them back up. And then Bonnie, just really make sure you correct yourself that your elbow and shoulder are lined up. So right now your elbows are like here. Mm-hmm. So some of you are able to take your palms all the way. Some of you can't at all, so that's fine. As soon as the wrist starts to bend and something, stop. Right? Just feel that motion. Right? And so what you're doing is you're turning inside the shoulder joint. Right? It's a socket. That's it. Okay, and let's bring your arms down to rest. Now, for a moment this time, you're going to interlace your hands and place your hands behind your head just to remind you of what it means to lift your head without working your neck muscles, right? So your hands are behind your head, skull, not your neck. Fold the elbows towards the ceiling, right? And you're going to lift your head as if to look at the space in between your legs. So you just peel up your neck and your shoulders. Your chin comes close to your chest. You lift on the exhale, all the air comes out of your chest, your lungs. Right? Just think that you're really rounding. That's it, Nancy, your chest. And no pulling on your neck. So this is about your chest. So feel that as your chest folds, the middle of your spine presses into the floor. Yes? Okay. Let's pause and bring your hands, arms back to the candle holder position. Okay, so we're going to put these two pieces together. So as you begin to take your arms down towards the floor, you lift your head and you look towards the space in between your legs. And if the chest softens, can you go a little bit further? And then you come all the way back. Right? So the more that you can, you know, this is where rounding is a good thing. The more you can round that upper back, the more that you can soften the chest on the front side. It means really let those ribs bend and fold. We can be so stiff in our chest, right? So the softer that the ribs become, the more...
But you should engage your stomach muscles, right?
Let's rephrase it. So she said, you should engage your stomach muscles. So what did I say at the beginning, early on? The difference between making something happen and allowing something to happen. The stomach muscles, so it's a great point, but the stomach muscles should automatically be engaging. So you should be witnessing that the moment you lift your head, you witness that the abdominals are contracting. It's a great point.
Yeah.
It's not that you make it happen, right? This is so important in our lessons,
yeah,
right? That you witness something's occurring. And then if something is not occurring, then that's when we ask ourselves, why? Why is this not occurring? What do I need to do to allow this to occur? So what do you need to do to allow the abdominals to kick in? That's one. And what is the... You're on the right track, Marlene. So if you let out the air, what happens? What if I repeat it a few times? That, but there's something else. Make you get to it because it's your most important thing. It's not about the head. It's all in the trunk, remember? The trunk. So she said the back lowers, the air comes out. What else have I said several times?
Ribs,
and the magic word is chest.
Chest, okay.
The chest softens. The chest has to fold. If you are stiff in the chest, there is no way. So notice the chest softening is what engages, right? It's the first piece that engages the abdominals. But if you're stiff in the chest, so it's always good to try this. Make your stiff chest, or your chest stiff. There's a lot of men out there like this, right? You know, like the guys that, hate to say it, they go into the military, and they're all puffed up, right? Their chest is all puffed up. They're stiff. They can't bend, right? They don't have a good core. They're doing it all with their head and their neck. That's it. So how are the hands coming along? Now most of you, the hands, it's a breeze to get them down now that we've talked about the chest and the abs and all these, right?
Yeah.
Right? It's not about the shoulder, is it?
No.
Right? It's all those things a part of your core. Now here's the really fun part. I love this lesson because it's fun. Kids love this lesson. They think it's like magic. So you lift your head, you take your arms down, keep your palms there. Now lower your head back down. Huh! how that happened, and lift your head again. So you just keep your arms there, right? And then you lower it back down, and something starts to change within your chest. Keep softening your chest, Marlene. That's it. Beautiful, Brigida. Isn't that cool? Shoulders come forward. Everything rounds. Okay. Let's let it go. Let your arms come down and rest. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's this, right? There's certain concepts out there that we've all heard. You know, legs long, rest, that can really impact us, right? I mean, like, so I remember when I was a little girl, we didn't use the word posture. It was to stand up straight, right? Stand up straight, right? Shoulders back, right? So when we're taught certain things or those certain vocabs are come out at us, and then somehow we think that we're supposed to stand up straight and shoulders back 24/7. That we're never to round ourselves. But what do we use rounding for?
Lifting,
we need to round things for lifting, laundry, driving, right? You soften the chest for the arms, anything to bring the arms in front of you, right? So every direction is valuable and necessary. But sometimes when somebody says, stand up straight, right? So it kind of gets over-lodged, right? Okay, let's bend the knees again. Let's bring your arms back into that same position. Okay, so now we're going to explore the other direction. So you're going to bring awareness, I'm going to say, to the back of your hand, right? And you're going to start to take the back of your hands up. Again, please stop when it's a little uncomfortable, right? There's no reason to go the whole way. So you go as far as you can, and then you come back to the starting place. Bonnie, you're doing a really good job now. Keeping the elbows and shoulders lined up. Right, and so what's interesting is which of these two directions are you more challenged? Is it the bringing the hands forward or bringing the arms back? Or is about the same. Okay? Right? So that's interesting, right? Excellent. Okay. And then again, let's pause with your arms. Let's take a rest with your arms, but keep your legs up. And now we'll introduce the next piece for your trunk. So rest the arms, but keep your legs standing. And this is where you're going to use your legs. So think of pushing your feet into the floor, and you're going to peel your pelvis and lower back up off the floor. Okay, so you're going to bring all the weight up to your shoulders and your neck. And then you're going to slowly lower back down. Now we're going to go through this without the arms several times. So one of the things several of you need to reposition is your legs. Your legs are kind of slipping away from you. And if your feet are too far away, you don't have a good grip to lift. So Brigida, bring your heels closer to your butt. They're too, yes. So think of it as peeling, right? So you first peel the tailbone and the pelvis, then the lower back, then the mid back. And see if you can bring all the weight to the top, the very top of your shoulders, so something else really cool happens that I've not emphasized before, and this is with your neck. Brigida, you're doing this great. It stretches your neck. So your neck gets super flat. So feel that. This is the one moment where you can bring the back of your neck all the way to the floor. But don't force it by the chin. It's by the lift of the pelvis. Back to the trunk. The higher you get the trunk. And once you're up like Sandy, walk your heels a little closer to you. Uh-huh, and you got a little more power there. Ah, then the neck lowers a little bit, right? That extra little walking your feet towards you a little bit. But so Lynn, and I know part of this is your leg, you keep kind of slipping away. Do you feel that? Okay, but this is what you're going to do. You're going to listen to me, okay? Just work with your right foot. So I want your right foot to come a little more to midline. Yeah! Now keep the left foot. That's it. So get the power with the right foot. Use the right foot, so have it a little more in the center. See how that helped? Yes! Now your chin is lower. Not, don't think of chin. Think of the back of your neck. Just let it happen. Back of your neck. And now lower back down. So do this a few more times. Nancy, beautiful. My arms went out too. Just naturally. Yeah, so just do this a few more times. Right, there's so many details in a lesson. So we've done this lesson, like I said before, but never have I brought in that concept of feeling the back of your neck sinking towards the floor and getting way high up on your shoulders, right? The very edge of the shoulder. So virtually your whole back is lifted. It's really potent. Excellent. Okay, now let's bring the arms back out to the side. Right? They're towards the ceiling. And now you take the back of the hands as far as you can towards the floor. Now it's easy. But now if you still can't get there, let's lift the pelvis. Everybody lift the pelvis. So take the arms there and just feel how easy that is. Isn't that amazing? So then you keep the arms there and lower the pelvis. And then you lift the pelvis again. Get way high up. So Marlene, this is just for you. You came to the perfect lesson for you. This is such a good lesson for you that you can do. And then just what happens in that? So it's repositioning your entire rib cage around your shoulders, not trying to make the shoulder reposition. Back to the chest, right? So if the chest is too stiff, right, it's not very flexible, then the shoulder joint doesn't sit inside the center of the shoulder.
I don't think I could have done this a couple of months.
Probably not. We've been building to it. That's it. Isn't that great? Yeah, so Lynn, remember this. Center that right leg and use the right leg. It takes all the pressure off the left. Your glutes are engaged too, sure. Okay, let's let it go. Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness. Let's rest. Yeah, so I had this client yesterday. We were talking about the title of lessons, right? And she's like, where do the titles come from? And that was a very long story. But, you know, to remember that when Moshe created these lessons, he first wrote them out on grid paper in terms of physics, being directions like arrows, arcs, writing degrees. And then next to it was a set of instructions in Hebrew. And when he was creating lessons, people would come to his home, line up outside, and then come in, lie on his floor in his home. And it would take anywhere from 2 or 3 days to sometimes 2 weeks for a lesson to become a lesson. And he would add, subtract, shift things around, right? And then it would become a lesson. So then the next step was then getting this in a written form. So the Israelis were the ones that had been doing this. And it didn't start until about 95, where they started writing out these directions in Hebrew and giving it language in steps. And then, once it was in Hebrew, it had to be translated into English. So it's been a lot of steps. So who knows who put the title there or why, right? Because it's an interpretation of whoever was doing the transcribing. Can you imagine? Anyways, bend your knees. We're going to try doing both ways now. So we're going to bring your arms out, and we'll start with taking your arms forward and lifting your head to look in between your legs, then lowering your head, bringing the arms back to neutral, and then lifting the pelvis and taking the back of the hands up, right? No rush. Find your own rhythm. Really get a good standing position for your legs again. And as you're going through this, right, you decide when you feel like maybe I don't need to lift the head and the pelvis anymore. Maybe I'm ready to try the movement just of the arms. And only if and when you feel ready. If you don't feel ready, then you can continue to involve the pelvis and your head. Right, and as you continue just a little bit longer, what's really interesting is to notice for yourself what really draws your attention. Right, so as I'm watching some of you, there's a specific moment where I can tell you sense and feel something really changes for you. Something significant. That's it. Beautiful, you guys. Okay, and let's bring your arms down and legs down and rest. Yes. Uh-huh.
Is your wrist supposed to be flat down?
Excellent question. So the answer is yes.
Okay.
So that if the wrist wants to do that, that's like a little bit of our nice carpal tunnel, you know? So it means too much kind of this way. So then you don't have the full availability and it gets taut a little bit. So this is really good for any kind of wrist, tennis elbow, anything in the hand, wrist, finger. Oh. Okay, so rest. Yeah, so with the titles, sometimes the titles, that's why I give you the number. You know, as well, this is number 18, and that's also why I am now putting the date next to the lesson, because I teach it differently, right? So the lesson, each lesson can have multiple interpretations. People get in fights about that. This is what the lesson is about. I don't know. I don't think any lesson has just one meaning. That's how you teach it. Okay, let's bend your knees again. Bring your feet to standing, bring your arms up. And now it gets a little bit varied, a little more different. So you're going to do the opposite direction of each arm. So we're going to start That's it, Sandy. Right arm goes down, left goes up. And then you come back to center, and then can the left arm go down and the right up? Right? Yeah. And as Lynn has discovered pretty quickly, there may be a motion, a movement, that you just suddenly feel you want to do with your head. So what is that movement? What do you want to do? Turn. See, and again, what I'm so appreciating with you guys, right, is that you feel and sense this. You don't make it happen, right? It's not making it, right, Brigida? It's witnessing. Oh, does my head want to turn? So which way does your head want to turn? Does it want to look towards the arm turning up, the arm turning down, or maybe does it want to just turn towards one arm? Uh-huh, there's options, right?
I have a question. Does it make any difference how fast you go?
Yes, it does. Great questions today. So whenever you start to pick up the pace, and sometimes it is good to pick up the pace, but you don't want to pick up the pace until you're really clear what you're doing. So if you start to default into going quickly with a movement, it means that you don't really understand the movement and you're just skipping over it. That's different than in a controlled setting if I say, now go twice as fast, when you really feel what you're doing. Does that make sense? So yeah, when you just subconsciously get faster and faster, that's really, it means you should probably slow down.
I hear lots of crunching in my shoulder when I do this.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Crunching. What do you guys think crunching means? That's a good answer. Well, it means something's rubbing against something. Right? So it's the same thing, you know, when people say, oh, when I turn my head, I've got sounds in my neck. Whenever you're feeling, you know, and you're sensing it, nobody else in the room can hear it. When you're sensing sounds and feeling sounds, it's rubbing. So things shouldn't be rubbing. So then you ask yourself, what could I do differently? And in which direction is the rubbing? Where do you get the sound? Yeah. Right. But notice what's not happening with your chest. No. Why would you do that with your chest? You're going down. What are you supposed to do when you go down? Ah, ha, ha, ha. Right? Right? But feel, go back and do the other way. Yeah. And then watch when you go with the left side. Just watch automatically go how it softens. Right here. So the other place to pay attention to, and we'll pause in a moment. So when I say softening the chest, one of the things I've left out, it's your clavicles. And the clavicles, these are so important, you guys. These are these bones up by your throat, right, that are connected to your sternum. Those are the bones that start the softening because they're connected to the sternum and they're connected by cartilage. So you need to soften there. Okay, rest your arms and legs. You notice what?
My shoulder comes up on one side.
Yeah. So rest your arms and legs. So the biggest place of softening is with the clavicles, and that's the place that often we're the stiffest, either through a break or from work-related situations. But what's really important to know is that those two bones have a half an inch of cartilage for connection with your ribs. And what cartilage does is that's what lets the ribs and everything scrunch together. And then all your ribs along the sternum have that same amount of cartilage. Isn't that cool to know?
I was noticing pelvis.
Mm-hmm. Your pelvis can want to move too.
That really helps me get my wrist.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how do we do with that? Let's try it again. We're going to add in another piece. Bend your legs. So here's the next piece. So we're going to go slow. Knees are bent. Arms are up. You're going to start with the right hand down, left up. And then you're going to take them into straightening, full out to the side before they come back up. So it's almost like you make like a half circle, right? So right arm down. What did I say? Right arm up, down, straight. And then they go the opposite. Okay, everybody come back to the beginning. Marlene's got it. Right arm down, left up, and then they come out to the side and straighten. And then from there, the left arm goes down and the right arm goes up. Right, Marlene? Bend it down and bring the right one up. Up, up, yep.
Do you bring them up from the outside or from when you've gone to the other?
Like that. And then you bring them up. There you go. And then you bring them all the way up. And then you start again. Right down, left up, straighten out to the side. Straighten like a windmill. Then bring the left arm down, bent. Right arm bent up. And then once they're like that on the floor, then you bring them in that position back up to the beginning. Sandy, that's good. The only thing you're missing is bringing them back up. Yeah. Yeah. But she's got so much fluidity. You did this a lot in dance, didn't you? Dance has got a lot of doing things in different directions, right? This might be kind of hard for some of you, like, oh my gosh. And then what happened to your guys' head? Right? You're thinking too hard. So let your head relax. Which way does your head want to turn, roll? Okay, let's rest it again. Yes, sir, can you imagine? So I was telling this lady yesterday in my training, there was 90 of us. Can you imagine in a gymnasium? And I was the one that just somehow, I have the brain to remember all these steps. We weren't allowed to sit up and write anything down during a lesson. So at the end of the lesson, I would go and write every single step and movement down. And I did this for 4 years. And then one of my classmates took them and sat, right? You guys, this is like before computer, at a typewriter to type and type them up. So, yeah.
So, did they not provide you with them?
No, they weren't. When I was in my training, everything, there was no, the original material wasn't available. It was just interpretations from the first two trainings, and then I was like in the fourth training. So everybody wanted people to write down, like to get, you know, right? And it wasn't until, like I said, literally when I graduated, it wasn't until then that the Hebrew lessons started to get translated into English. And there's something like 25-30 volumes so far that have been done, because each Israeli has taken on a certain amount, and then they get really tired, and then they train the next one to do it. So they're still translating them. Can you imagine? Because there's like over 5,000 lessons. And then there's the volumes of like my training. which is like, Sandy, this big. It's like this thick. I have it at home. It's like this thick from all the lessons of 4 years, right? You know, so it's kind of cool. I mean, I have the San Francisco training, so I have all the different Amherst training before my training, the few trainings, and those people's interpretations who were able to do what I could do, lie on the floor, and then do write the lesson out. It's pretty fascinating how this all occurred, right? Okay, so now you're going to come up to sitting. Sitting with your legs crossed. Notice which way you want to cross your legs, left in front of right, and then you're going to bring your arms back, but now it's this position, right? So to bring the candle sticks or whatever. So you're going to first take the arms down, right? So that's like what we did earlier. So you're going to now, you now have room, because you're sitting, to round your spine as you lower your head. And then you're going to come back up. And as you take them up and behind you a little bit, you're going to lift the chest and look to the ceiling. And then you go back down. No, it's not bending to the floor. See, you're pivoting right here. So you're not bending your trunk. It's not this. Look at me again. This is not it, right? You're still doing this motion. And when you round, but you don't touch the floor. That's it, Marlene. That's it, Sandy. Round back. And then lift up. That's it, Brigida. That's it. So remember what we did a couple weeks ago, right? So when you lift up, can you guys remember that concept of the ribs coming forward? Right? So when you round, you take the ribs back. And then you come up and those ribs come forward. Right? And, right? Now, let's try one hand down, the other up. And again, which arm do you want to look at? The one going up? So this is a super, and you're not really looking, sorry, you're not looking up, Lynn, towards the ceiling, right? You're just, so you're, you start off and you're here, right? And then you come back and go here, right? So what's so cool about this, hopefully for Marlene, is you feel that the spine should be twisting in between the shoulder blades and that the shoulder blades and the shoulder joints are responding. Nancy, this is really critical for you too. Yes. So right at you, that's why your head wants to turn because the spine's turning. Okay. Rest your arms for a moment. We'll try it again in a moment. So can you imagine, when I got this concept, it was so cool. I'll never forget, like, whether it was this lesson we did, something where I really got this, and then I remember going out for a run, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what happens with your spine. So your spine moves like the inside, well, this is the old-fashioned, washing machines. Not the kind where we have the door now open, right? Remember the old-fashioned, you remember the kid? I used to look in there out of curiosity, right, and watch. Remember the old-fashioned washing machines where you lift up, right? So it doesn't turn all the way around. Do you know what I mean? It does this. That's the exact same amount that your spine churns. So like when I go out running, you know, running, and it's like, oh, that's what's, it's that, it's like I'm washing my spine, is washing everything. Okay, bring the arms up again. And actually start like this. So let's take the right arm up, look at it, left arm down. And now that I describe that, can you sense that that's the kind of turning? That your spine is turning. And then the shoulder blades, right? One shoulder blade curls forward, the other one slides back. Yes? Okay. Excellent. One more piece. Lynn, you can do one side of this. You can't kneel on this leg, right? Okay. So left foot up, right knee down. So you're like a knight, right? This is so fun. Okay, so again, think of the same thing of like the inside of your spine turning. So turn the right arm up, or sorry, left arm up. Look at it. Come back to the center and the other way. And now you feel the turn all the way down like you felt Marlene earlier to the pelvis. Make sure that your foot and knee, there's a width. If you're losing your balance, means your knee and foot are too close together. And are you breathing?
It's amazing how heavy your arms feel.
Yeah, isn't it? Now, for everybody else but Lynn, you guys can change over the legs. Beautiful. Excellent. Okay, I know, it's tiring. On your backs and let's rest. Rest. So as you're resting, start to notice how you're resting now. Draw into your awareness your four dots, your four lines, your rectangle, and your spine. Slowly and gently roll your head a little bit to the right and left, and just see how that feels. And can you feel, sense that turning of your spine now in between your shoulder blades just as you roll your head? Because when that starts to occur, Lynn, there's no noise. That's it. Bring your head back to the center. And again, take another moment to sense how you feel in your arms, your chest, your neck, your pelvis, your legs. And then when you feel ready, you'll roll to a side, come to sitting and standing to see how you feel in standing from this lesson.